Amen. I have enjoyed the time to gather together with the students here. The school, as well as a few local brethren. Have you enjoyed this?
Amen.
I'd like to continue. First of all, where I left off yesterday. Was it yesterday?
Yeah.
And coincidentally, it's the same place that Brother Bert left off this morning. So here we have our very familiar drawing. The tabernacle. In the tabernacle, in the court, we have a separate the tabernacle itself. And this precious little piece of furniture here. The golden altar. And what we're going to talk about here, death at the golden altar.
Ato ang istoryo nga din niya kabutunan may tungod ni ini nga kamatayon din ha sa bulawan nga halaran.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's an altercation. That kind of altar means if you change something. There we are. Thank you, George. I make the wrong altar every now and then. Now, what Bert left you off with was the discussion of Nadab and Abihu. Just by way of review, you have to come through here.
Atong subliyon katuhatuhan nga panduman kagahapon gikan kita dinya sa tumbaga ng halaran
to get
ginawanan o niya dito sa balaan nga dapit na dito ang kananan of the table of showbread na dito ang golden incense, no?
In other words, you can't get here without coming through here. And you can't move from the holy place to the holy of holy place without dealing with the golden altar.
Dili ka magdilita makasulod dito sa balaan, pinagbalaan dapit kundi siya mo agi dito sa halaran nga bulawan.
Now you say, well, the veil is really the problem. No, the veil is not the problem. When Jesus was crucified and when he died on the cross, the veil was rent from top to bottom. So that veil, as far as God is concerned, God is not keeping us out anymore. The problem is that we have a veil within us.
Ang problema lang nganini, kita mismo adunay tabon sa ato ang kaugalingon.
The veil is upon our mind, upon our eyes.
Ang tabon na sa ato ang unahuna, sa ato ang mga mata.
And this is the issue that needs to be sacrificed before God on the golden altar before we can go through that veil and enter into the Holy of Holies.
Mauna makini matabon sa atong kinabuhi mo kini siya ang puntar yang ano moabi kita dito sa halaran ng ulawan.
Now if I were to have redrawn what Bert drew here,
kung ako atong sugriyon katugi hulagway iban Bert kaina atong tagaan hulagway usab hangtod karon,
I would make it like this. And this takes us off into the eternal God. In other words, you can't get here from here without going through here. So let us look into the Word again in the Old Testament. And I want to go to Leviticus, the 10th chapter, and I'm going to read the first 7 verses.
Leviticus.
I'll just read the 7 in English, and then Lido can read the 7 in your Bible. It says that, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan and the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said unto Aaron and Eleazar and unto Ithamar his sons, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, and lest wrath come upon all the people, but let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. And ye shall not go out of the door of the sanctuary of the congregation, lest ye die, for the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses.
Sinala o kapiho ang labi mong anak ni Aaron, ikuha ang matapos kanila o kayang insinaryo o mibutang o kalayo din ini o mibutang o insinso yan ini o mihalad o lati na kalayo tumangan sa Ginoo na siya wala isuko kanila o kihay ikawas ang kalayo kita sa Ginoo o bilamoy kanila o sila na namatay tumangan sa Ginoo. Kung si Moises ay mga ito ng araw, mga kini ang isulti sa Ginoo na gano'n, ako pagkabalaan ng mga kanila na nagtungol na ako. O atuwangan sa tipo ko kakawan, ako pagkayamayaon kung si Aaron nagpapanilog. Si Moises ay tawa ni Misael o Elsa, Elsa Pan, ang lalaking mga anak ni Yusil, ang uyuhan ni Aaron o mingong ngayon kanila, dali, paduol, dan ang inyong mga isuwang ikan sa tubangan sa bala, dali, gawa sa kampo. mao nga sila miluol o pinala kanila diyan sa ilang mga buko sa gawas pa po ingon si Gisulti ni Moses. O si Moses ingon nito ni Aaron o nito ni Alazar o nito ni Itamar. Ngayon lalaking mga anak ayaw kuhari o tabon ang inyong mga ulo ni mugisi sa inyong mga biskit. Pasit ang mga matay. O pasit ang kapumot o abot sa tanang katawan. Apang tugote ang inyong magsuon na ang tibok para sa Israel na magpinatay sa pagkasunog ng Ginoo ni Hari. O kapumili mo gawas ikan sa puntahan sa pagkakulo sa katikuman. Basin ko mga matay kay ang pandigo ng lana sa Ginoo anahana ka ninyo o sila mahimo sumala sa pulo ni Moises.
Amen. Now, these are two of the four sons of Aaron. I believe that they were the two eldest sons of Aaron. And they were given clear instruction how they were to deal with the business in the holy place. The Lord clearly told Moses, you are not to bring strange fire, you are not to bring strange incense.
Klaro kayo na ang Diyos na nasulti nga ito kang Moses nga kinahanglan wala kayo kamoy kalayo nga dalhon dito tapitan.
Now remember, it is God that lit the fire in the brazen altar. Alright, so that fire was holy fire. If I were to make a type of what is fire and what is incense, I might say the fire is the spirit. In other words, it was the Spirit of God that started this fire here at the brazen altar. And we do not have incense here, but we have incense offered here. What you offer out here is flesh. So the outer court is the place where we deal with our flesh. If we have not dealt with our flesh, we're probably not qualified to come in here to the holy place. We may have thought that we were holy place people, but we were really living an outer court life. So the incense is something else. It's not flesh. It is our prayers and the offering of our soul.
Mao ang kaulugan ini ang ako ang mga pag-apo o ang kalat
How many of you know that we are spirit? We have a soul. And we live in a tabernacle of flesh. This earthly tabernacle is fading away. Soon to be replaced with a spiritual tabernacle. So let's consider what Nadab and Abihu did when they came into this place here. You see, everything, this is called holy place, and that means that everything in this place is holy. And this is the reason that Moses told Aaron that he and his other sons were not to uncover their head, they were not to go out of the tabernacle because they had holy anointing upon them. When the priest went out of this place into this place, he took the holy garments off and he laid them aside. So you don't take what is holy into a place that is carnal. And you don't take what is carnal into a place that is holy. So they brought there was still a fire in the outer court. There was still a fire there. I believe that this fire was maintained at least for the 40 years in the wilderness. But they were a couple of modern preachers, Nadab and Abihu, modern preachers who decided to experiment with some new things in the church. The fire is a spirit. The outer court churches are moving in a different spirit. They're moving in a spirit of the world. Much of the preaching is preaching of the doctrines of the world. The music, the praise, the worship is taken after the pattern of the people of the world that are so-called famous and well-known for their kind of music. Do you understand now why we spoke to you about the kind of music that was coming into the church a couple of years ago. If you bring the strange fire, if you bring the rock and roll music into the holy place, somebody's going to die. Now that doesn't mean you're going to God is going to strike you dead right there. That isn't what I'm saying. You see, people die spiritually and they don't know that they're dead. There are many famous ministers that are spiritually dead and they don't know it and the other people don't know it. But you see, when you read the Bible, you find that the first occasion that somebody does something, somebody dies. For instance, Achan stole from God. And for that he had to die. His whole family had to die. Now, Brother Mark, are you telling me that that is the only time that a man has stolen from God? No, men have stolen from God many times since then. So this is the first time that a man comes to offer strange spirit before God in his prayer, in his offering. I believe you can offer this strange spirit in your so-called worship and praise. Jesus told the woman at the well that God was looking for those who would worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I don't think he had in mind a man up there with a guitar and a drum. Come on, that is not worship in spirit. Well, it's worship in spirit, but the wrong spirit. And so it says, and a fire went out from before the Lord and devoured them. All right, so that's the end of their ministry. The ministry of Nadab and Abihu came to a sudden end. Now, there's something interesting in this passage, and that is the first verse that says, these two sons took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon.
Nabila niya Rizal rin na pita, katunuhan ka mga anak ni Aaron, nakuha sila itong insinsok ng ilang ipaso, pero ang ilang isinihan sa ilang kabalino ng kalayo.
So, there's another term here that I think we should understand. Censor. Now the censor, as near as I can see, is in a personal way, in an individual way, it's a little golden altar. A portable. In other words, the censer basically carries out the same function that the golden altar does, except that you can carry it about.
Ang mao masudunan ikan diyako dito sa kalaran ng bulawan, ang kalainan na nini, maurang ilahang bulawan doon, kalainan nini, ngatong insitso, ilang malalala lang isang asa sila at diyan sa ilang anapit.
So each individual man, in some cases, can have his own censor.
Mao na ang kunimong tanawin niya, ang matagos sa kanato, matagos sa kanila, alula sila, kaugalingong kayo na,
And it probably represents his own personal condition before God. We are accountable before God, not just on a corporate level, but on a personal level as well. Let me take you over to the book of Hebrews for just a minute. And we see here in chapter 9 that the golden altar is called the golden censer.
Ang halaran ng bulawan, iyong makita din ang halaran ng bulawan ng gamay ng itong insinso.
Let me read the first four verses and then you can read them.
Bigyan sa uno. Iyang una ang pagkabasa ka nato, bigyan sa uno ang
Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly or natural sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the lampstand and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant.
Usap adunay mga sugo sa Diyos nun nga pagpangalaga. Usa kawalaan dapit nga anaa sa kalibutan. Ay dahi usa katabunabulo nga bihimo. Ang una, isulod mini niya ang kandililo. Ugang labisa, ugang pagsagdaya na dinapay na gitawag ang balaan nga dapit. Sa sugo-sunod sa ikatawang kabil, ang tabunabulo nga gitawag ang pinakawalaan sa kanan. Nga may bulawan nga insinaryo o ang arka sa pagsabot nga bilokok sa pag-aklap o bulawan sa rutini. Diha ang bulawan nga kulon na dunay mana o ang kamaaron nga sukot nga nanaringsing o ang mga papan sa pagsabot.
Amen. Now, did you notice something unusual here in this verse that we read from Hebrews? Did you notice where Paul put the golden censer.
Si Pablo nagahimo niya nang kana siya nga gamay na pulo nga ipugos siya o bulawan.
He moved it from here to here.
Iyang gikuha kini o iyang kini gidala gikan sa balaan nga dapit kadto sa pinakabalaan nga dapit.
Or it seems that perhaps this is missing.
Imong tanaw ni ha, no? Inaisi naman ito. So, imong makita din niya na gidala niya gikan sa alaran ng ulawan, gidala niya dito sa pinakabalaan nga dapit.
Amen. If this is rent, it has no more purpose. So when we go on into the book of Revelation, we find mention of this, we find mention of this, but we find no mention whatsoever of a veil.
Na kung imong tanaw diya sa pinadayag, kini nga mahina, kini nga halalan na bulawan sa balaan na dapit o dito sa pinagabalaan na dapit, wala na mag-istorya mahinukod niya na. Pero nahilog siya.
But that does not change the fact that you still have to come this way to get in.
Pero ang kapaguraan, wala din siya, ingon nga nabag-ugya ako, nabalhin, maura niya ako ng proseso niya na pagsunod niyo padulong dito sa balaan na dapit.
So let's try to understand. Maybe you can help me. I don't have all the understanding.
Mauna na sulayan na ito pagsabot kini nga mga butang, ha? Siguro magkalaapoy nga nasaktan din ang tabangan sa dunin mo nini ito kay dilitalan na mong nasaktan din.
Let's try to get a better understanding of what this censor business is all about and how the mishandling of this thing brings death and disease.
Sulayan na ito sa pag tanaw karon ang mensahe nini nga mao nga insinso nga unsa man ang iyang trabaho nganong nahibig importante man siya dinhi sa mao nga istorya.
Now we have a very unusual study here in Numbers chapter 16.
Mana adunay tara sa una to nga istorya ato karon diha sa Numbers kapitulo 16.
I've heard a lot of preachers preach Numbers 16.
Daghan na pinadunggan sa mga magwali mahitungod diri sa Numbers 16 ka mga magwali.
And it seems that the usual message is, "Don't you dare rebel against me, or you'll be struck dead."
Nga kuhapon nila siya ko balingon sa nari kung magsupak-supak ay kay kung magsupak-supak kuhap na ko na patay na yun.
Do you understand what I'm saying? The famous rebellion of Korah.
Dito sa kada batugan na rebellion niya sa Korah.
And when people rise up against the religious system, people begin to whisper and say, "Oh, it's Korah. The earth is going to open up and swallow them." Okay, now we understand from what we've learned so far that
something na to no nanginhinga ta kasabot sa unsa man ato na natun-an sa pagpadayon ta.
God is not particularly interested in preserving the legacy of an individual man, including that of Moses.
Ang atong buhi ka Dios, di na kayo i-preserve niya nga matiman-an kanon ay marabahin kayo dihilo kaniato nga gibaliwala na i-samahin sa atong kinabuhi.
But God is interested in preserving divine order. Let's lay aside man, let's lay aside the so-called offices of man, and let's just look at divine order.
Atong ihiklin na ato ang mga tulungan, ato ang pinabuhi lugar na kinaiyahan nato stimulus masiban sa ato ang mga programa sa ato nga kundi ato kita karon diha sa pagsabot sa espektuhan ug kabahin.
There's probably no need for us today to go again into the teachings that we have brought in the past about divine order in ministry, etc. And whatever we would say if we take it from the Old Testament, we must understand that the old order of priesthood has been done away with in Christ. Priesthood means intercessor, go between man and God.
Sasagutin nga pare, pwede pasagutin siya ang pagtipagtaliwala sa tao o sa Diyos.
We understand and we believe the principle of priesthood of all believers.
Nagtuo na mga tao sa may pinagkarako magpare alam sa mga magtutuo.
Hallelujah.
The blood of many, many martyrs has been spilled over their understanding of this issue. The harlot church tried to set up an old Babylonian order of priesthood, and when men began to get the light and the truth, they came against that and said, no, that is not the order of God. So we have two groups of people here who are rising up in rebellion against God, and they're expressing their rebellion against Moses and against Aaron.
Dini ato makita na duha ka mga tao nga nagsupak-supak sila dito sa pamalaod ni Moses.
Now,
sa lain-lain nga mga pamaagi.
If you want to look at the chronological order of what's happening here,
kung atong gusto maisugyuhan ang sunod-sunod na mga pagtuo niini,
we find that this is the third in a major series of rebellion that is taking place within a fairly short period of time. First of all, we have Miriam and Aaron rebelling against the place that God had ordained for them. And they murmured and complained, and you remember how Miriam got the leprosy. And she had to be put out of the camp for how long was it? 7 days, I believe. There's that number 7 again. Seven, fullness. Fullness of So when the 7 was complete, she came back, she was restored. Chapter 12. Now chapter 14. The rebellion of Kadesh Barnea. I'm not going to read it. What? Numbers. Numbers, yeah. Oh, this thing disappeared on me. What happened? It receded from me. It rebelled.
Misupak naman orang baik.
Numbers 14, I'm not going to read it. It's too long. You'd be here till tomorrow. Kadesh Barnea. Send out the spies. Spy out the land. They did an opinion poll. The opinion poll said the righteous are not going to win. You might as well vote for the guys that are fearful. So everybody voted the way the 10 reported. What did it bring them in the end? Death in the wilderness. Joshua and Caleb, life, inheritance of the kingdom of God. You would think that Korah and his gang would have learned something from what's been happening lately. Korah was of the sons of Levi. Dathan and Abiram were of the tribe of Reuben. Okay. And they came against Moses and Aaron, and they said, we think that we all should be priests. I don't know, what would that be like today? We all want to be prophets. No, I would rather be an apostle. I don't like being a teacher. And so I would rebel against God. And then I would get the whole congregation stirred up. That's basically what they did. So they came before Moses with their rebellion. Now it's interesting that these Korah, who were Levites, by the way, they had a specific responsibility in regards to the tabernacle. They were specifically charged. Each one of these individual families of Levi had a different responsibility to care for different pieces of the furniture. In particular, when the tabernacle was taken down and moved, everybody had a place. In particular, now these Korahites, or whatever this gang was that was with him, there were 250 princes, and they each had a censor, 250 censors. However, they were not golden censors. We find that they were brazen censers. Now, what is the difference in type between gold and bronze? Gold is the nature of God. Bronze is judgment. In particular, we could say judgment of God. So here they are with their colleagues out there in the camp, rebelling with them, and they have taken on themselves that they are going to make some offerings before God with their brazen censers. But there's something unclean about the offering that they are making.
Pero ang ilang mga gustong ihalar na ay para dili mao or kadanga na ay hugaw sa ilang ihalar.
It's made in a spirit of jealousy, disobedience, rebellion, envy, whatever you want to say, it was an unclean sacrifice that they were bringing. Moses recognized that in verse 15, and it says, Moses was very wroth, and he said unto the Lord, respect not their offering. Why would Moses say that? He knew they were coming out of due order. And it turned out that Moses was right on, because the Lord said, I'm going to just wipe out the whole bunch of you again. And so Aaron and Moses both went on their face before the Lord and said, Lord, for the sins of one, you surely won't wipe out everybody. And so the Lord said, okay, then let's make a separation. In verse 21, separate yourselves from among this congregation that I may consume them in a moment. You have a question? Oh, I did say that. Yeah, we're in chapter 16, right? Right? You knew that, didn't you? Yeah, number 16. No, we moved from 14 back to where we started in 16. I'm sorry. All right, so Moses said, all right, we're going to decide the issue. God is going to decide the issue. Go to your own tents tonight. Tomorrow we'll settle the issue. So, Moses rose up. He went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. He said, depart from the tents of these wicked men and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. How many of you have noticed already in life that sin can consume you? It doesn't matter what your besetting sin is. It will consume you. I might have shared with you some time back that the man that tried to have me fired, and he had the power to do it. His sin wasn't adultery, it wasn't alcohol or drugs or anything like that. It was his political greed. And it was right very shortly after we parted company that he died. So sooner or later, sin will find you out. That's what Joshua said. He said that to the tribes that wanted to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Sooner or later, your sin will find you out. So we understand what happened. Now this doesn't include Korah. This includes Dathan and Abiram. It says that they stood in the door of their tents with their wives, their sons, and their little children. And the ground, the earth opened up and swallowed them and everything that pertained to them. How many of you believe that the other Israelites fled as far away from that hole as they could? It says they were swallowed up into the pit. In other words, that same word is Sheol. The word is sometimes translated hell. In other words, hell opened its mouth and swallowed them whole. I can't help but wonder, was there smoke that came up out of that hole in the ground? I mean, I would run too if I saw that happen. People run from this kind of thing. Do you know that last night there was a big bombing in the airport in Istanbul, Turkey? And they had the live videos that they were showing from the cameras in the airport. And when that thing went off, you could see people running as hard as they could run to get away from that thing. Okay, now, there's something else to be dealt with here. In verse 35, then it says, "And there came out fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense." Strange censers. Strange incense, strange fire.
Dalawa ha. Makalilisa ang asinso, makalilisa ang ilanghimo, bigilan mo yung sila sa makalilisa ang usap na tayo.
And the 250 princes.
Ang mga prinsipi na 250 kabuong.
These were important men in Israel. These were important politicians. These were wannabe religious leaders. Korah could have started a new church with 250 pastors ready to go. But God put a stop to it there too. So you see, it sounds very similar to Nadab and Abihu. Fire from the Lord. A sacrifice, an offering that was unacceptable to God. How many of you know we need to offer an acceptable offering before the Lord? What is an acceptable offering to the Lord? Say it again, Bert. A broken and contrite heart.
Kana kayong naga balatas o nagapaubos na kasing-kasing.
I do not read anything about a broken and contrite heart in Korah, Dathan, or Abiram.
Ito kakura kabira mo kang katunga mga tawana wa ako kakita o mga tao kasama niya na kasing-kasing.
So I find this very interesting. It is again the issue of a censor. Can we just study this issue a little bit more? Can we fast forward several hundred years? Into the days of 2 Chronicles. Amen. And when we get to 2 Chronicles, we have to go to the... Why am I having trouble finding? Oh, here it is. 26th chapter. And we're talking about the good king Uzziah. Good man, Uzziah. One of the best kings.
Usa sa mga maayo nga hari.
When you read in Kings and Chronicles, this man was wicked, this man was more wicked, this man was even more wicked, and it's refreshing to find a man like Hezekiah and a man like Uzziah come along.
Nagunin mo talaga din ang mga paghintabua, daghang kayo ang mga dili maayo ng mga hari, pero nining kayo na, si Uzziah,
here's a man that became king when he was 16 years old. Quite young. And it says he did right in the sight of the Lord.
It
says he sought God. Amen. In the days of Zechariah. had understanding of visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. That's 26 verse 5. 2 Chronicles 26:5. Yes, yes. One verse, just that one verse. Yeah. Verse 5. All right, now let's look at verse 16. I'm going to read it first. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, and he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense.
Kaya siya binapas patok sa Ginoo iyang Diyos. O kaya ito ganto sa templo sa Ginoo aron magsunog sa isin sa ibang mga sararan sa isin.
What was the problem?
O sa may problema ni karon, maayos pa siya primero, sunod.
He was strong. His heart was lifted up.
Na isa ang iyang kasintasi ni isa po ng garbo.
He was proud. He was not humble and contrite. Now I remember Brother Duciel saying, and I believe I remember hearing him say it several times. Now he's a man who was born before me. He lived during the moves of God that were before my memory.
Si Brother Lucille, iya ka naman ang matugan, kini ka mga kulungan, doon kay si Brother Lucille na itong namatay na, nga, magulang malagi sa iya, so iya matugan ka naman.
He, in his time, he knew many good, powerful, righteous men of God.
Sa iya panahon, kita niya itong iya mga kaubanan, ka mga maayo, mga matalo, mga mata.
Gifted, great authority in God.
Grabe yun, mga maayong tao, mga bride, mga basta kayo na ay mga talinto.
There were great men of God before your and my time.
Mga maayong mga tao din sa ilang panahon.
And I remember him saying, every one of them, when they came to this point right here, they failed.
Na ang matatos kanila sa unang mga maayong mga pag-abot nila dito sa pinaka taas na dapit na sa ilang pagkakao na hindi sila na daunan.
So maybe you should thank God for keeping you humble.
Amen.
Mga matalot mga po sino, karoon na itong pag-umun sa karoon na sino.
For keeping you small.
Amen.
Nagkaroon na lang itong gamay para po na ako.
For not letting you prosper too big. You know, you may recognize that someday that was really the hand of God that preserved you. But here is a king who had been very successful. He wasn't satisfied to just be the king. He wanted to be the priest also. He wanted that business at the golden altar.
Ay gusto siya niya ito magpipit o pulawan.
So here he comes down into the temple with his kingly garments on.
Maura pagabot sa panahon, nagsulong siya sa iyang sultana, naglakaw-lakaw.
And I'm trying to see the number here. How many priests it was that was in there? It was 80, wasn't it? Am I right? Is it 80? I think that would be 80. I'm going to say 80. If I'm wrong, you can correct me. And I'm trying to find the name of the priest. Oh, Azariah, the chief priest. And the 80 other priests that were there. They said, the chief priest and the other priests supporting him, they said, no, 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 king, king, oh king, no, 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 please, don't go in there. I'm the king. I am the king before God. I am a very successful king. God has given me victory over all the forces of darkness. It's the same story. So he went in there. He would not listen to the body of Christ. I mean, it wasn't just one priest that was saying, I don't think you ought to do this, sir. It was 80 other priests that were saying, oh, king, you don't know what you're trying to do. But he did it anyway. And it says here, verse 19, Uzziah was wroth. Wroth. He was angry. I'll bet it was the last time he ever got angry. It cured his temper in a hurry, didn't it? Listen to me. If you're going to come in here and offer your soul on the golden altar and you haven't dealt with your temper, what kind of an offering do you think that's going to be before God? You haven't dealt with your pride, you haven't dealt with your arrogance, you haven't dealt with your willfulness. You've got desires that are out of control. You've got a mindset that is not compatible with the kingdom of God. And you're going to come before the golden altar? Hello? I don't think things are going to go well. Alright, it says Uzziah was wroth and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. He had his own personal censer in his hand. And while he was wroth with the priests, he was upset with the ministry God ordained. The leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. Where did the leprosy start?
Forehead.
The mind. His mind was wrong.
Yes.
And it went to the rest of him. The man, the king, spent the rest of his life locked up in a little cabin, and his son had to take over the administration of his duties until the man died.
Inilah bantukan hari, inilah sebenar apa ni sangkut segitu nganak kulung si kabalingon sa gamay na kwarto unyaki alagahan sa iha gamay na anak sangkut si naman.
Now listen, you go and read the history of Israel, you read the history of the kings, you read the history of the temple. There had come and gone a lot of sin, a lot of pollution, a lot of bad. Could you say, well, God, therefore, He didn't care about that stuff anymore. It was all done. God is proving right here that He still had an interest in this thing.
Amen.
And if you want to know the truth, I think that I can prove to you that the fire in the outer court had already gone out a long time ago. It wasn't because he was offering strange fire. He had gone into a place that he had no business being. Okay, I'm sorry I'm so long. I want to take you to one more example, and that is in the prophet. And that'll be the prophet Ezekiel. Well, you say, Brother Mark, what does Ezekiel have to do with a golden altar? Well, it doesn't mention the golden altar, but it mentions the censers. So go to the 8th chapter. And this is a vision that God gave the prophet Ezekiel. And this was that he was to dig into the wall, into the holy place church. It doesn't come right out and say it, but that had to be the place God was giving him a vision into what should have been the holy place. But it wasn't very holy. Now I'll start in verse 7. And in verse 6 he said, I'm going to show you greater abominations. Okay, now, He brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he to me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. In other words, a secret place.
Verse 7 and 8.
So in other words, God is looking into the secrets of your heart, into the secrets of your mind, into the secret thoughts of your imaginations. And then he told him, he said, go in and see the wicked abominations that are in here. Does that translate abomination in your language? Oh. Is that a special different word than something really bad?
Yes, very bad.
Very bad. Something repulsive.
Abominable.
Abominable, yeah. Okay, in other words, it's something, it's not just bad, it's really bad. How many of you believe that God must have thought that what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah was an abomination in order for him to destroy it the way he did? Okay? Yes, all right, so let's go on. So it says he went in and he saw, and behold, every form of creeping thing, this is verse 10, and abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. Now you see, God was seeing the inside of the room of your heart, the inside of the room of your mind, your soul. God is on the, he's showing a video, a movie of the inside of the thoughts that were going on in their heart, in their mind.
Imo kita din niya kung saan nakita sa Dios sa sulod ha sa parehi sa ato matagus sa mga lawa o kasing-kasing daw gipangimo nga kanang tanan-aw na alam nato nga aron sa amabuta dilutanan sa Dios.
What would you think if I could get a little video of everything that you've been thinking since you woke up this morning? And I would put it up here and display it, and we'll show it for everybody to see today. What would you think? Would you be embarrassed?
Yeah.
Yes, of course you would.
Yes.
Yes.
You wouldn't want everybody to see that. Do you understand that's what God sees? We wouldn't be so great and proud, would we? So God gave the prophet the chance to see what was in their imagination. By the way, he saw their idolatry also. He saw the things that they loved. He saw the things that they hold on to. He saw the things that they don't want to give to God and yield to God. They were very important to them. You know, for some people, it's a very simple thing. It might be fashion, a certain fashion, a certain way of adorning yourself. It's very important. You wouldn't give it up. Might be an idol.
Siguro nahimo siya nga mas bilhin mo na lang nato bisan pa nato ang kinabuhi mismo, no? Kung nasa nato ni Pailo na isusundo mo nato ang kinabuhi.
And usually these are things that pertain to the world.
Kini maguta na naga di ka kini sa kalibutan.
Okay, and I'm not going to go much longer. So now, we come to the key verse here, in verse 11. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up.
Kung ginayong baro at tumahang kanila ng kapitungan katao sa katigulangan sa balay sa Israel, kung binapit sa taliwala kanila ng baro si Jezaniah, ang lalaking anak ni Shaphan, kung siya nagtao ang kanyang insinaryo, dina sa iyang kamot o usap kamuhagang panganol sa insinso ang misaka.
Now, this was a religious thing that was being done here. This was a ritual. This was a church doctrine of some sort that was being carried out here.
Yep.
Ever been in any of those churches? Big church where the priest is carrying the thing and he's chanting in some foreign language, swinging that little thing back and forth and the little smoke coming up out of it. Big long robes, you know, all different colors, some fancy kind of hat on the head. Well, this was very religious, and this is what these men were doing. By the way, they were elders. They weren't a bunch of teenagers that were got together. No, these were the leaders. The church leaders, 70 of the leaders. And God said that it was an abomination. The imagination of their mind. Now, I just want to take you one more place, and then I'm going to stop here. And that's in the next chapter. That's a joke, right? Yeah, one more chapter. No, I am coming to a close, really. Oh, I've got another message. You want me to do it tonight? No, not tonight. Tomorrow. Okay. All right. You find these same elders mentioned in the next chapter. Where he saw the angel with the inkhorn on his side.
Nakita niya ang usang anghel nga dunay gitakin.
And the angel said, I want you to seal certain ones in the house of God. I want you to seal those that sigh and cry because of the abominations that are going on among God's people. How do you want to get sealed? So you can carry this right over to the book of Revelation. There's going to be a sealing of the
144,000.
That means the sons of God. So begin among the people of God in Jerusalem.
Magsugod kita kauban sa mga katawhan di sa Jerusalem.
Go through the streets, seal everybody that is totally fed up with the wickedness, the abomination that's going on in God's people. Then there were six other angels that came. And they had a slaughter weapon in their hand. Another seven. Seven altogether. One marking and six killing. And he said, now go through the streets, and everyone that does not have the mark, whether they are old, young, women, men, it doesn't matter, kill. So you see, here's another situation where they were dealing with a censor, sending up a prayer, sending up a ritual, sending up some kind of religious activity, but it was an abomination to God. So we need to follow the path of this golden altar a little bit further yet, if we get a chance. God bless you.